right, good evening. Welcome to the October 14th special meeting of the City of Black Diamond Planning Commission. If you would please join me in the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, commissioners. Long time no see. I appreciate your patience in the process. And I also want to thank Commissioner Olson for leading these last couple of meetings. I really appreciate that, Commissioner Olson. Thank you.
No problem.
So the hopefully, commissioners, you've had an opportunity to look at the minutes that were produced from our last meeting. Do any of you commissioners see any changes or corrections that need to be made to those minutes?
We should do the roll call first.
Oh,
sorry.
No, thank you very much, Brenda. Please, would you do the roll call?
I'd be happy to. Commissioner LeConte? You guys are muted.
Here, let me ask him to unmute. Sometimes you have to do that.
Present.
Okay.
There he goes.
Commissioner Jensen?
Present.
Commissioner Butt?
Present.
Commissioner McCain?
Present.
Commissioner Ekberg?
Here.
Commissioner Amber? I haven't heard from him, and I just looked in the things. There's nothing from him either.
And he did indicate he would be late, so I would expect him late.
And Commissioner Olson?
Present.
Okay, we have a quorum.
Great. Thank you, commissioners. Now, we'll proceed to the minutes from our last meeting. If you commissioners could take a look at those, and I would entertain a motion from the floor to approve. Any
Commissioner
comments?
Jensen, I would move to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Commissioner Jensen. Do I have a second?
Commissioner Butt, I second.
Thank you, Butt. So it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes from our last meeting. Thank you very much.
Point of order.
Yes.
I didn't think there were any minutes on the agenda to be approved tonight. For this special meeting.
So let me see. So I have approval. Oh, approval of minutes. It says none.
Okay. Yeah, there are none. There are none.
I didn't think she had gotten them done at the last. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. A little out of sorts here because I
You're rusty.
That meeting. Hurry. Thank you.
Oh, we won't. Yeah, we won't record that motion since there was no minutes to approve.
Good idea.
And we didn't. And we didn't vote either.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Well, moving on, at this point, we'll ask if there's any public comments, any individuals that are wishing to address the Planning Commission may do so at this time. We'd love to hear from any individual wishing to chime in, and if you are there and would love to enter your input for the record, please just state your city for the record. And with our third call, I'm going to assume we don't have any public participation tonight. Thank you very much. So, unfinished business. I think it's a point in time to turn this over to Ms. Kincaid.
Thank you, Chairman Kane. And thank you all for coming together for a special meeting. One of the challenges that we have that actually multiplied with COVID, of course, is meeting these statutory deadlines. And as you know, the comprehensive plan amendment can only be done once a year annually, and it needs to be adopted. Any amendments that we make need to be adopted by December, the end of each year. So here we find ourselves in the middle of October. We narrowed our docket down to just address a very narrow scope to be able to provide a enough revisions for the Puget Sound Regional Council to certify our comp plan that we adopted in the May of 2019. So even so, our timeline is short. So I appreciate your willingness to come together. So the focus for tonight's meeting is on the third item on that docket that we recommended to council that they adopted, and that's the review of Chapter 5, the land use. And our focus is looking for anything in the land use chapter that we might revise to satisfy Puget Sound Regional Council's concern that with the MPDs, our growth targets are way out of whack with the countywide policy, the countywide growth targets, and the regional vision for growth. So that's really what we're talking about tonight. And I sent you all just Chapter 5 of the comprehensive plan, just sort of as a reference document. And what we'll do is walk through the proposed changes to that tonight and have a discussion. No action is required tonight, but I'm hoping that in the next hour we can come up with some language. Maybe what I'm proposing will work for you. Maybe you've got some other ideas. So with that, I'm going to open up my screen and just start talking. And of course, when you share your screen on Zoom, you can't really tell when somebody wants to speak, but just interrupt, I think, is probably the best way, because this is supposed to be a discussion. So that being said, let me get my screen up here. And like I said, I'm going to be showing you the Chapter 5 land use that I emailed you earlier. And then I have kind of highlighted for the discussion. And as we scroll through the pages on my screen, you will see what I'm proposing we change. And that's just for discussion tonight. And first of all, you notice I've highlighted 5.1 in the introduction. And that is, here, I gotta move that out of the way. That is because as I was reading and thinking about this and doing the audit, it really, this first sentence in the introduction is a real standout to keep in mind, that the land use element is intended to influence or alter development patterns over time. So our comprehensive plans are 20-year visions for the future. This one is to go to 2035. So different than when we start talking about changes to the development regulations and the zoning map, the comprehensive goals and policies are to start moving the iceberg in one direction or the other. And so that is a critical thing to think about. I also, on the bottom here, these highlights, I'll make it a little bigger. So can you guys read that?
Very good.
Okay, excellent. So the other thing that I, in my mind, I think is critical to think about with this discussion is that the land use element supports the vision. It provides the means to achieve and maintain land use balances and development patterns over time. So that land use balance concept is then in the general goals and policies, the intro to that section repeated again. So a balanced community, we worked on this so hard before we made this, adopted all of this in May of 2019. We're talking about a community that's a traditional small town, it's distinctive local identity. And again, you see that word balanced, that a balanced traditional small town means that the city will provide a variety of housing types, retail, goods and services, and employment opportunities in proximity to one another. Those, to me, are the standout key points that I just hang on to in my mind when I work through the comprehensive plan, and in particular, what I'm proposing we might want to change. So when you go down to my first recommendation here, and point of discussion, actually, is going to be in how we discuss and describe or treat, even if you want to think about it that way, the master plan development overlay. So if you recall, and I can bring up a map if anybody would just like to see that as a refresher, the master plan development in the comprehensive land use map is shown as an overlay. And that is what that means is it floats over the top, the designation is underneath, and then the master, if a developer wants to come in and actually build a master plan development, they must go through the process of changing the zoning and getting that permit. So one of the things we talked about over the quite a few months, with a lot of people in the community concerned about the master plan developments and the, just all of the congestion and traffic and all the extra housing, we talked about whether or not we might want to revisit the MPD policies and criteria for designation as one way to not only recognize the concern of the community, but also will help us to satisfy Puget Sound Regional Council's concerns that we're going off the rails in terms of continually building these big developments. So at the end of page number 5-6, I'm on page 5-6 of that document, the adopted document that I sent you, and proposing that we add the language here in the highlight underline that there are two master plan developments currently under construction in the city of Black Diamond. The build out of these MPDs will result in housing units that exceed the countywide adopted growth targets and the regional growth strategy as discussed in chapter 2. So in chapter 2 of the comp plan, that's where we lay out all the numbers. And we do talk about there's this inconsistency between those growth targets and the regional strategy and what the projections are, the future projections and future conditions are for Black Diamond. So by adding this language, we're again recognizing that we have an issue that we need to address. And then I added this sentence, in order to align the city's future growth with countywide and regional growth, the allowance for new MPDs must be carefully considered. And that's kind of like what I was thinking, the setup for when, that should be an underline, for when we add.
Commissioner Olson, it says, but be carefully considered.
Must, thank you very much. Fixed, must be carefully considered. So the very first thing that I'm proposing in the actual, these bullet points are the designation criteria, and they're very important because an MPD is still on the table. The existing villages, now 10 Trails and Lawson MPDs, they have a permission to build out, but that doesn't preclude somebody else that could fit the criteria from making an application for a new MPD. It's my thinking, and I think it's worth having a discussion about, commissioners, is that that is not really what the community would like to see, and that we might want to limit a new MPD from coming in more than the language that we have adopted currently does. So I'm proposing this new little bullet point under MPD designation criteria that would say the designation of any new MPD should be discouraged until full build out of the two currently under construction.
Commissioner Ackberg, that's two does.
Pardon me?
Commissioner Ackberg, that's full build out of the two are currently, I think you need to get rid of one of those.
The two?
There's two thes, T-H-E.
Oh gosh, yeah, you could tell I was,
you read through it and said the, so.
My brain was thinking faster than, or something, my typing. Okay, that, so let's, can we pause maybe and have a discussion about how you all feel about basically restricting a new MPD or discouraging it until you heard a lot of testimony where people were saying like, we've got enough, we shouldn't be doing more. Until we build these two things out. So I'd like to just open that up for discussion and get your thoughts about this.
Commissioner Jensen, I agree. I think that's a very, very wise addition in all the public testimony that we have heard and even other voices in the community and in other avenues, not just in our commission meetings. I think that is a very major concern. And I think that's probably accelerating or becoming more evident as we see, the 10 trails developing and seeing the visual impact of what that really means. I mean, seeing that empty field and knowing there's going to be houses there is one thing, but then all of a sudden seeing all this happening and the big apartment buildings and all those kinds of things. So I think this would help to alleviate a lot of concerns. I'm just wondering, is it possible to use a stronger word than discouraged?
I think we could, certainly. Maybe are you thinking strong enough to be denied? Are you thinking should be not allowed? Not permitted, that strong?
It would be worth some discussion. I'm not ready to propose that, but I think we should discuss that.
I think so too. I'm hoping to, and I was really hoping that Commissioner Amber would be here too, because I know he's probably got a lot to say about this. And what do the other commissioners think?
Chairman McCain here. So my question, Ms. Kincaid, for you is, What is the lead time generally that is required to begin the planning process for an MPD? Is it a year or 2 years? Obviously, it's a parcel with at least 80 acres. I mean, right. It's a huge undertaking. What is the average lead time, if you can quantify that?
Well, yes. A person that has accumulated or owns 80 contiguous acres would need to apply for a comprehensive plan rezone or amendment to redesignate or put that overlay. That has to happen first, and that's that's 1 year. That's year one. Once if that were approved. And they had that overlay, then they would come back in and make the actual application for the zoning change and the master plan development application that includes the environmental impact statement, probably a development agreement. And so it's not a short turnaround. I would say 2 years, two to 3 years. And that's if nobody appeals it, as you know, that these two MPDs were, gosh, I think it was 8 years, 9 years or something before the court that went through the court system and they were actually upheld.
Well, I believe that we started hearings. I started attending hearings, I believe in 2011, 2010 or 11. So, definitely a lot of lead time. My second question, Ms. Kincaid, is how many people or how many parcels would be able to be considered an MPD? So there's probably not 80 acres, too many 80 acre pieces left in the city that would fall into the MPD category.
Well, it doesn't. So it that doesn't preclude someone from buying and accumulating up to 80 acres. So you don't necessarily have to start with an 80 acre. And there are some, I don't have the number, but there are, I mean, you've got to think about Mr. Bill Comble owns significant contiguous properties.
I think Commissioner Butt, I think there's probably two people
in the city that have over 80 acres right now.
Oh, okay, thanks.
But somebody could buy and redevelop. I mean, they could buy and you know, maybe say they've got 20 and they could start to buy contiguous properties. And so it's not out of the question. Would it happen? Who knows? I mean, you know, that would be a considerable expense to put together an 80 acre property, you know, to do it. But
and without annexation, we only have a few parcels that would qualify at this particular point in time. Is that correct? A few property owners that would be affected.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I do want to say, though, the MPD is not the only tool in the toolbox either for them to develop their property. We have other ways in the zoning code that allow flexibility and plan development.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that you'll notice here is that I actually got rid of, I've got a line through on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bullet. We had in the adopted plan, the development plan requires flexibility to meet the requirement of an MPD, and I would recommend striking that simply because we're really trying to make it a little more restrictive, a lot more restrictive potentially, and that just doesn't fit. So we talk about the, you know, they've got to have existing or planned facilities to support the density. That's fine. They can't, the area that they're proposing to develop an MPD, it can't have a lot of environmentally sensitive areas. That's great. We talk about there's a need or a benefit that's going to be clearly derived from the flexibility in zoning. So that means, and that can't be provided by other mechanisms. And then you have the 80 acre piece. But so then when you go down and this sentence that I am proposing that you strike almost makes it seem wishy-washy to me, you know, where we're saying like, well, yeah, you know, you gotta have this, you gotta have that, it better be like this. But then we kind of say like, oh, well, but if the developer, you know, needs to have this, then we should allow it. And I think that that's kind of conflicting language, and that's why I'm proposing we strike that. I can see Commissioner Ekberg is thinking very hard over there.
Well, yeah, I was wondering about the word parcel there. Several times, this is Commissioner Ekberg, several times you mentioned the word contiguous.
Mm-hmm.
Parcel imply that the pieces are, this 80 acres are contiguous?
We should put the word contiguous in there. I think we should put the word contiguous in there. This is saying the parcel is at least 80 acres and in single or unified ownership or subject. Oh, actually, the subject to the pre-annexation agreement. I actually was going to propose we strike that also. So I think you're right. I think this particular bullet needs some work as well. At 80 acres contiguous, I think that word contiguous should be there. And I honestly think that we maybe don't want to have this down here, an annexation agreement, because that is really what started the two MPDs to begin with, where that was the Beduga and the annexation agreement. So yeah, I'm gonna do this.
That sounds reasonable to me, Commissioner McCain.
Okay.
And are we going to insert that word contiguous?
I think we should. 80 acres.
It should say parcels, because you can do multiple parcels to become 80 acres.
Yeah, that's good. Acres. I mean, I think all employers.
It definitely should, Commissioner Butts. I think that was actually a typo there anyway. At least 80 contiguous acres. Okay.
Is it the parcels are or the parcels?
The parcels are. Oh yes, we've got a now we've got a grammar problem. Okay.
Contiguous doesn't look like it's spelled right. We might need
it was
to
not.
Check that.
It was not.
There
yeah.
we go.
The parcels, yeah.
Question, Commissioner McCain, what is unified ownership?
It would mean a like an LLC or something.
Okay.
A corporation. Mm-hmm.
Oh, got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And you know what we're doing tonight with this is preparing what would go to hearing. So again, we're not doing anything that is final. We're going to this, we're creating, and this is what we did at the last meeting. We're creating all of these proposed revisions for the amendment to take, to put into a public hearing document to get public testimony, public input before we actually finalize anything and make a recommendation to council.
Commissioners, are you satisfied to move forward?
I am.
Okay. All right, Ms. Kincaid, what else do you have for us?
So then going down to the, there's the other area that I think we can do some good is 510, the Urban Reserve Goals and Policies. And this is on page 58. Of the adopted comp plan. We talk about in this section that we have, you know, what's an urban growth area, how the urban growth areas, you know, come about, what's the purpose, King County's urban growth areas, and how they resulted for us for what's called potential annexation areas. We only have two potential annexation areas left. Because all the others were annexed into the city. These two areas are the area along a portion of the Southeast Green River Gorge Road and West Lake Sawyer, and then Lake 12. So would anybody like to see a map of what those look like just to get a visual? Or do you just kind of know where they are? You may have already looked at the map. But one of the things about these PAAs is they are, the intent was for the city, if we needed to grow and expand, that we would annex and build those out. Well, the problem with these two areas, especially, well, I shouldn't say the other one, but Lake 12, there are no utility, there are no services, there is no infrastructure. And when I've had several conversations, both with our Puget Sound Regional Council rep and also with King County about this, Puget Sound Regional Council, Laura Benjamin said, well, we'd really like to see you make a statement in your comp plan that says you're not gonna try to annex any additional area. You're not going to try to make Black Diamond bigger. That would make them feel like we were really committed to staying true to getting in line with the regional growth strategy. I talked to Karen Wolf, the long range planner at King County, about Lake 12 in particular, about, well, we've got this annexation area that we will, it doesn't even make sense. The city would never probably be interested in moving out that way. The cost of the infrastructure would be ridiculous. And I actually was asking, well, can we give it back? And she said, yeah, that's something that we ought to explore when we crack open the countywide policies, which is going to start fairly soon. So my thought here is, and let me underline this because I missed that, is that the current goal in this section for the potential annexation area, I've crossed it out because it is counter to what I just described in these discussions with these other agencies. Land use goal 6 says encourage urban growth in areas that can be serviced by adequate public facilities and services and protect natural resources and environmentally sensitive areas, which is good, except that in the context of these annexation or future growth areas, it's not consistent with our mission. So I would propose this, maybe we insert, get rid of the current land use goal 6 and insert discourage annexation or urban levels of growth in the remaining PAAs until the city's future growth is aligned with the countywide targets and regional growth strategies. Any discussion about that?
I have Commissioner McCain. I've been approached with some citizens in that Westlake Sawyer area that really are looking forward to annexation now. They find themselves, they're really sort of in a services no man land. They're right next to the high school. They're right behind the fire station there on Lake Sawyer Road. But, you know, they're disjointed from the rest of the city. So, you know, I would be an advocate for taking Lake 12 off the table because of the reasons that you've talked about, but considering still that the west side of Lake Sawyer for some future use based on what I've heard from citizens.
Okay. So we should maybe think about differentiating the two areas. The thing that the one issue from the city's perspective is that area has already been densely developed. And so for the city to annex something, it would just be taking on more cost to provide, you know, to provide services to, and this is way out of my league here in terms of even probably talking about that, but you're right, that's a different situation than the Lake 12 entirely.
Yes.
So, maybe.
My only thing, this is what Commissioner Butt about Lake 12 is that it's pretty well developed around the lake. It's just, and they have the Tacoma water there, but most everybody on the lake just doesn't have, they pump out of the lake or they don't have good water. Mm-hmm. The only thing I could see is it would, if the city annexed that, Tacoma water would probably allow the people there to access water. I mean, there's no sewers, but. That's my only thought on Lake 12.
Yeah, and the city would, if we annexed it, we would have to extend sewers, which is not really feasible.
Well, but the city annexed Lake Sawyer, and there's no sewers on most of the lake, and that was 20 years ago.
And that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, and there's no sewers around the lake, or most of the lake doesn't have sewers.
Yeah. Well, I'm quite certain that in today's rules and regulations, that you would not be able to annex there was a must extension of sewers would happen at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's see. This needs some work then, because I think that you guys, so far I'm hearing really great input. And so how do
hi we... this Commissioner Amber, I just got here. So sorry if I missed some stuff here, but what's this about the annexing of Lake 12?
Well, what we were talking about, Commissioner Amber, is making some adjustments here in it, you know, to try to align the, you know, to try to commit that commitment that we're going to try to align the growth targets to the countywide and the PSRC. one of the things that that I've heard from the agencies is that they would like us to have some pretty strong language in the comp plan that says we're not interested in annexing any new area until that happens. So, and I was talking about with them about, like, it doesn't really even make sense for Lake 12 to be a potential annexation area because the cost of the city to the city to extend the required infrastructure is just not feasible. And so I was actually kind of wondering if we could give it back. So we're not talking about annexing Lake 12. We're talking about for these two areas that we still have in our potential annexation areas, maybe just saying we don't really have any intention of trying to annex them. So that's where you see this goal right on land use six that's crossed out is the one that we have where we talk about encouraging urban growth. And I was just suggesting that maybe we get rid of that and instead insert a new land use goal six here that we're going to discourage that. But as Commissioner McCain brought up a good point, those two areas are very different in our PAAs. And so we were just trying to figure out if there was a way to amend this section in the goals and policies to really signal that the city is not interested in annexing or moving beyond its boundaries at this time, and not until the whole intent, and not until we run out of land to build, because that's really what UGAs, urban growth areas, and you know, future annexation areas are supposed to be, these urban holding areas. So when a municipality runs out of space to develop and grow, that's when they turn to these future growth areas. But the theory that I'm operating here is that we have, with the MPDs, we have quite a bit of growth that for the next 20 years is we don't really need to look outside our city boundaries to build more. So maybe we ratchet the language down here, and that's what we were talking about.
Well, surprisingly enough, I'd fully support that. let's see. And hasn't the city of Black Diamond already gone 100 times over what it was, what the Puget Sound Regional Council originally said Black Diamond should grow to?
Well, I don't think it's 100 times over, but it's what we're trying to do in this annual amendment cycle, to try to get that plan certified completely by PSRC, and really the stipulation would be that we docketed this land use chapter to go through and look for goals and policies that we could change that would signal that is our intent.
Can so we that also include Lawson Hills in that?
Well, Lawson Hills is already in the city's boundary, jurisdictional boundary. So this section right here is just about the urban reserve goals and policy. So this 510 that we're working on right now is specific to the PAAs.
Okay. Yeah, well, I would support getting Lake 12 out of the PAA.
Or urban, yeah. I think that actually King County sounded like they were supportive of that. I just didn't know if we wanted to come out and say that, but we certainly could. We could put it in policy. We could add a policy here that says, you know, work with King County on removing the Lake 12 area from the city's PAA. How does that?
Commissioner McCain here for Commissioner Amber. Dave, can you, I don't wholly understand the resistance to annexation for Lake 12. I know that's been on your heart and your mind for many years. What what are the top three issues you would you say are reasons that you or your neighbors would not want to be annexed in?
Well, the expense to us of annexing in is going to be astronomical.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, because we would have to pay, I believe the wording in the annexation agreement is that the people around Lake 12 are going to have to pay for all of the upgrades to be annexed into the city.
So, Ms. Kincaid, is that true with an annexation? Is that usually how it's done? I really don't know.
Well, here we'll go down to policy LU23. Yes. So the King County Code, they have provision where, and in the county-wide, an interlocal agreement with King County would have to take place. And in the county code, they talk about the contents of that interlocal agreement and that it would have to provide for the funding of the infrastructure that would be needed. And that's why I was saying, I don't know that it necessarily falls to the residents of Lake 12 the way that's worded, but the city would certainly have to find a way to fund the extension, particularly of sewer.
Commissioner Amber, yeah, my reading of the original PAA agreement from 95, I think it was, is that the city of Black Diamond wasn't going to pay for any of this, and that the whole cost was going to have to be borne by the residents of Lake 12 or the property owners of Lake 12.
But you very, very well could be right, because I did not go back and read through that document, Commissioner Amber.
So that's the primary concern. The other concerns are just another level of government that we don't want to deal with out here.
So even though the side benefit would be more reliable water and sewer, you would just, and you.
That's not really a benefit.
Oh, Well, I know with, we had the ability to hook up to sewer, and that was a big plus for our private property rights on our specific lot.
If you're looking to pack as many houses in as you can and increase the density, then I'm sure you'd be for that. But most everybody out here likes the this peace and quiet and solitude.
Well, and I do understand. I don't think it's a density. It wasn't a density issue for us, but I get it. I just wanted to have a better understanding of, you know, you specifically, why you would consider that not to be a good thing. And I don't know about cost. And of course, that's always something to be considered. But well, thanks for giving me a couple other things to consider.
So we do have the two, I'm going to scroll back up here. So we do have two areas that have not been annexed that are the, you know, and so the, and Commissioner McCain, Chair McCain, you bring up the point that there are two different areas there. They're the Southeast Green River Gorge Road and West Lake Sawyer annexation, west of Lake Sawyer along the Covington Sawyer Road. That is an area that is really already built out with housing. And so obviously that's a lot different than the Lake 12 area. I mean, as Commissioner Butt pointed out, there's development all around the lake, but it's still, there's a lot of sensitive areas. And so they're different. They're two distinctly different areas. And so perhaps we need to break up how we treat both of those, because Chair McCain, you noted that there are folks that you've talked to in the Lake Sawyer, Covington Sawyer area in the Kent Lake High School that would like to be part of this incorporated, you know, within the city boundaries. So I'm thinking that maybe we do want to discourage annexation or urban levels of growth in the lake. Well, See, this one doesn't even fit now that I'm thinking of thinking through, doesn't really even, well, it, the annexation, not the urban levels of growth. So discouraging annexation in the Lake Sawyer, Covington Sawyer Road PAA would be one way we could say that, because I mean, saying that urban levels of growth are, it's already done.
Well, I think if we did take off the leg 12 part, we would show a willingness for the PSRC to meet them halfway.
Mm-hmm. So maybe we, let's see, I'm going to work while we're thinking about this. Now, why is that doing that? Wow. I've got these really funny symbols instead of, there we go. Land use goal. So maybe the goal is to, take leg 12
off the table.
Yeah. I mean, I that's something that seems like I'm hearing all the commissioners there. You're thinking that might be okay.
Well, if the city is Commissioner Amber, if the city of Black Diamond really doesn't want it because of the expense and it's, you know, so off, I mean, it's just sitting out here by itself. If the city doesn't really see any need to have Lake 12 annexed, and I know a lot of the people out here don't really like it. The only reason I think it was put in the annexation area was to get that 1995 land deal done with Plum Creek and Palmer Coking.
That was.
That's the only reason Lake 12 got thrown in there. So, yeah, I'd be happy with that.
What do any other input from anyone else here on that?
Yeah, I'm fine with removing Lake 12. On the other piece, isn't it already an urban growth area for King County? So aren't they going to let them develop anyways?
Well, that's just it. That's, you're right. So you've got this big urban growth area, and then they split the urban growth area into these PAAs. So that's why it's already developed the way it has, because it is an urban growth area. And so then the next step would be, you know, would be this request for the city to annex it. That would be the next step.
Is that like a King County request to annex it? Or is that a... Well,
it could be. There's the annexation rules. There's different ways that the petition, it's a petition. It can be a petition of the voters. A majority of the voters is typically how that works.
Commissioner Amber, I would think the city would like to annex that Lake 12 or the Lake Sawyer Covington area because, I mean, it's already developed and they don't really have to do anything.
We have to provide services.
Well, but this, I mean, that's not, I mean, you're going to assume you don't have to put the pipes in or any of that. It's all there. You just have to hook it up to your system.
Well, but the ongoing maintenance and operation costs over time are considerable. But there's two things that besides that, I guess, to think about. Our mission tonight is to try to say to the state and regional agencies that we are serious about getting our growth targets aligned. And so that's why I'm suggesting we think about if you annex an area, then what happens? You have an automatic increase in the number of housing units, and the target numbers go even further away from where we're supposed to bring them in.
Well, Commissioner Amber, I would think that the city would have thought about that before they, they went so overboard on the current MPD. And there's still more, there's still a lot of housing developments now going in Black Diamond. I would think the city would have thought of that before now. I mean, they didn't really seem to care too much about keeping population levels down up until, I mean, this is the first I've heard about the city wanting to restrict population growth.
Oh, well, I wouldn't say we want to restrict population growth, but what we really need to do is like I said, work towards the being consistent with the projections, the growth projections that are adopted in the countywide arena and in the regional strategy. I mean, that's basically, you know, I can't only speak for myself as a planner and what, you know, how we work under the Growth Management Act, but that's a very important thing for us to work towards.
Commissioner Amber, all right, what is the county and the regional council's, what is the number that they gave to Black Diamond for desired population?
That's in chapter two, but it's kind of outdated. So so we're starting the new cycle of buildable, of getting those new target numbers. So the target numbers that we're working off of right now, I mean, I don't, they're old, but they're like, no, like you were like 100 times out of sync with what we have. But I wouldn't focus too much on the target number that's in the comp plan right now, but it is in chapter two if you want to look at it. But more importantly is some of the things that happened is when the MPDs were going through their all the process and up through the courts, Puget Sound Regional Council, they did not recognize them because, and this is a conversation that I've had, they didn't recognize that as happening because it was in litigation. And when they were running their, you know, running their new numbers into the model, they didn't put it in there. So that's one reason why, and they admit that they, both King County and Puget Sound Regional, they admit they kind of kicked the can down the road. And so they're not faulting the city 100% for where we are. They recognize that they kind of didn't really want to change their models and their numbers or projections because they weren't really sure what the outcome would be.
This really means nothing.
No, this means a lot.
I mean, if they're just going to kick, they can come up with any excuse they want.
That was the past number. See, now going forward, as we work with them and coordinate on the new growth targets, on the buildable lands analysis with King County, and the Puget Sound Regional Council is working on its new Vision 2050 document. I think that we will still be out of sync with those numbers, but we won't be quite as far out. But the whole thing is, you know, is really to keep true to our ideal and our vision that we want to maintain Black Diamond as this small town community. So let's go back to that. We want to have balanced land options, have our housing for all. I mean, all of those things.
Already been blown out of the water.
But that does not mean that we need to look to expanding out and annexing new lands. That's my, that is really just my opinion on this. And that's why I'm trying to work through these recommendations with you. And perhaps you don't agree with that. I'm not exactly sure where you're falling in terms of how you feel about this, Commissioner Amber, It does sound to me like you support the removal of Lake 12 as a PAA, and I believe that I heard the other commissioners felt that was something that they were in support of. Is that correct?
Commissioner Olson, I don't know if I am, but I'm leaning no, but I don't have a good response right now.
Okay.
Commissioner Eckberg, the only concern I have is now that this comprehensive plan is forecasting how far in the to the future? Is it like
2035? It's a 20-year plan.
20 years. So do we know for a fact in 19 years from now that we may not want to annex like 12?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's a good point.
I think you're safe to say that we don't want to annex Lake 12.
It's safe to say, but what's the benefit of doing it, of removing it as a PA? What's the benefit besides telling some group that we don't want to do it?
Commissioner McCain, the benefit, I thought, Commissioner Olson, is that the PSRC is insisting that we tamper this down a little bit. And since we in the Planning Commission group have some opinions as to the viability of that annexation ourselves, perhaps we could just remove that from a potential annexation area to, one, satisfy the PSRC and show them that we're getting what they're talking about. And that would go along with people's genuine concerns. I've heard that about Lake 12 for quite some time. I think, Commissioner Amber, there might be a time from a real estate perspective that area is going to benefit by having some reliable water, and that might be enough to, you might be able to influence your private property real estate enough to cover whatever that cost might be. But of course, I'm just guessing because I don't have a good idea of what that cost is. But I know people struggle with water now. And maybe that's a way to solve both those problems in a way in the future. But
so the current adopted goal that we have is right here that I've crossed out, but it states encourage urban growth in areas that can be serviced by adequate public facilities and services, and protect natural resources and environmentally sensitive lands. So I guess the question is, how do we could do nothing with this section, but it just feels like it's low hanging fruit to me to say, okay, we recognize that we have within the city's boundaries, we have a considerable amount of housing units to support the population growth. And we also have a lot of area that we can infill before we should even consider going outside of our city boundaries. So,
I think something that you just said there would be more appropriate or more informational than the extreme of what we have with this one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Forget, Commissioner Jensen, I would agree. And just point of clarification, we're just wordsmithing and working on this tonight. We're not making any decisions.
Correct.
And then we are preparing a document that is going to be available for public review and comment. And so I think there's been a lot of good discussion around this and some good things to think about. And as just was mentioned, that maybe to reword that a little bit so it's not quite as strong, but I think we have some time to think about this and to hear some other comments and then make a decision, would seem to me.
I think so too.
I'm certainly satisfied, Commissioner McCain, I'm satisfied with that too.
Okay, so maybe we take this one off. We wanna just take that one off the table because it's awfully strong. And maybe more like future annexation of the PAAs will be discouraged until
I mean, we could just go back to saying it until we the city's growth targets are better aligned with countywide. We could just say it like we said up above with the MPDs. To
everybody, could you leave what you took out? Like in this last one you did there.
Oh yeah, that was just stuff here. Let me.
Oh.
We were just goofing around with. There we go. We had this. Should we? This was not. This was something that we put in there, but it does. It sounds like the language to remove Lake Bluff is not. Maybe it's a little too strong.
Okay.
So I was.
I don't object to it.
I'm just wondering if we want to maybe say like future annexation of the PAAs will not occur until the city has met, the city has, forget how I put that up above, cities.
The growth targets are aligned with.
The city's projections. With countywide, it's kind of what we said with the MPDs too. I mean, that's really kind of what the PSRC was looking for, and it makes not only that, but it does make sense. We're trying to put the brakes on. We're trying to put the brakes on to catch up, basically.
Well, there's a whole list of other conditions in the 1995 annexation agreement that have to be met before annexation can occur also.
Mm-hmm.
There's like at least a half a dozen or more requirements that have to be met. So that would be one of the
And I think so.
Commissioner Olson, what do you think about tacking on the line you have crossed out onto the end of what we just wrote?
This right here in areas that can be serviced.
Is that too long? I mean, you'd written it at one place you thought it was somewhat applicable, and now you're kind of expounding on it.
Yeah, exactly. With countywide growth targets, I mean, and I think maybe it's the encourage word that bothers me on this one. That maybe, so we say that in the future, that one of the goals is that we're not going to annex until we align our growth targets. Then the other second goal could be, so this is a goal. And then this goal, maybe instead of encouraging, we're saying urban growth annexation shall not occur in areas, you know, unless they can be serviced, and maybe that's just a separate goal.
And protect the environmentally sensitive lands.
Yeah, I think we have that down below. Let's double check though. Annexation shall not occur in areas where public facilities and services are not feasible. Well, let's see, they're not going to be annexed anyway if they're not feasible.
And I would ask the question, not feasible to who or to what?
Yeah.
So it might be feasible to one set. Now, something to keep in mind, perhaps, is that the MPD on Lawson Hills will be, you know, it will be developed, and that might change that whole desire of Lake 12, perhaps, or it might be more economical after that other MPD is built out, perhaps. I wouldn't want to take it off the table forever, but I think we need to be aligned. The public wants that, too.
Yeah. So maybe we're saying, okay, first of all, annexation isn't going to occur until we get those targets aligned. And then the other thing is annexation can occur in areas that can be serviced by the public facilities and services and protect, yeah.
Commissioner Amber, well, it sounds like the county and the regional council can change their growth targets anytime they want to.
Well, I mean, it's not that simple, actually. I mean, there's this whole process that happens, and it is it's not just made up stuff. I mean, it's you have demographers that work on, you know, making these forecasts, and it goes into a big thing. So it's not just, they don't just pick these numbers out of a hat. They come up with them based on historic growth projections, census numbers, and forecasting that's done. So yeah, I don't want to make light of it, like it's just not important because they can come up with any number anytime, because it doesn't work that way. So this annexation area served by adequate and facilities, but then you're right, we also want to talk about the protection of the natural resources. And I almost feel like that should just be its own goal. It was kind of hanging out there at the end of this one, wasn't it?
I would think that should take priority.
Areas, something we just need to kind of tack that on there, that we need to protect the protection of natural resources. Environmentally sensitive lands.
And how are natural resources defined?
How are they defined?
Resources that are natural.
Well, I'd have to go back to probably, I think in chapter 4 in the natural environment, we talk about what's a natural resource. I think most people are okay with that phrase. I hear what you're saying. It's kind of like, well, what's a natural resource? But I think that most people understand what a natural resource is.
Because coal's a natural resource. Trees are a natural resource.
Yeah.
Water and fish. I don't know if fish are a natural resource, but... All right, so we're going to protect natural resources and environmentally sensitive lands.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking that was kind of a goofy way it was written anyway, but I think you're right. We want to make sure we pull that out of there. We don't really, I guess maybe annexation will not jeopardize or conflict, is what I'm thinking. Is there shouldn't be any conflict.
Well, I know there will be at Lake 12. I mean, if this area gets annexed, the development will go from one house per 5 acres to one house per acre. And since Lake 12 is in a bowl, everything from that development is going to go down into the lake. And I don't see how it's not going to negatively impact. I mean, we've got families of beavers and otters and osprey and eagles out here.
Yeah. Okay, that's not written very well at all, but I kind of understand to kind of understand what we're thinking about. So really, I mean, conceptually, we're I think agreeing to the fact that in the PAAs, we don't think that we should be looking to annex them until we align the growth targets. We think that obviously we don't want to be talking about annexation until the area can be serviced by public facilities and services, utilities. I'm going to put utilities in there just because it's. And then this next goal about the making sure that there's no conflict with annexation, but that's really all that those are. These last few, these two are very specific to Lake 12. Because the other PAA, it's not really, it's kind of a mute point.
You know, Ms. Kincaid, you know, are you sure we're not like duplicating some of the call outs in these underlying policies? Because these other sub policies sort of talk about what we're talking about as a whole there. Mm-hmm. Do we need to go through those one by one? Because, or are we, can we cover the change with some general information that isn't picked up by these sub policies? I think if we looked at the whole goal and sub policies together, it might help.
So these policies, then we underneath the goals, and that's a great point. I mean, we've got where we're monitoring growth in conjunction with the, and that's a good one to cooperate. 22 priority to infill. That's exactly what we're trying. And you're right, Commissioner, that we already do have. We have that language in there. In policy LU23, though, we've got this urban development with the PAA will not occur without annexation, of course. That actually couldn't even happen. Actually, this is kind of a dumb policy unless there is an interlocal agreement. So I originally crossed out the unless there is an interlocal agreement because I wouldn't want to supersede the process that should happen with an annexation. So that's why I crossed that out. Urban development within a potential annexation area will not occur without annexation. That statement in itself is pretty strong, but then we added this unless there's an interlocal agreement. And that's where King County, that's where they come back because they have in their comp plan and their zoning map, they have these areas that show it could be developed at an urban density with an interlocal agreement. So I guess if we take this interlocal agreement off the table, then that in itself might make it much, much harder to go through the annexation process. Or to you know, circumvent some of that process, which the annexation process is not an easy thing to go through because you have to have the basically the petition and the will of the community that property owners that want to be annexed. But then you have to have go through the whole fiscal analysis of, you know, who pays for what and how do you transfer the assets. So I just thought that really this sentence, unless there is an interlocal, should be removed because I don't think you should circumvent what the statute has for annexation process.
Well, can the city, Commissioner Amber, can the city prohibit King County from urban development within a PAA, if it's not annexed, it's still county territory?
We cannot limit the way that their code's written. We're supposed to enter into an agreement, but that doesn't mean they can still develop. They can still develop at urban densities, and you see that. You see those subdivisions in the county. So I really feel like you know, striking that is, it was just, it's a personal bias that I have, really. And we can leave that in there. It's really on the table for discussion.
I'm fine with striking that. I mean, there's no reason. But I don't see that the city of Black Diamond can really enforce that. I mean, if it's not annexed into Black Diamond, the county can do whatever they want, whether there's an interlocal agreement or not.
Yeah. I think you're right. I'd have to go back and look at King County's code, but I think you're right about that.
So it seems like for the purposes of our discussion tonight that most of the commissioners are on board with that change.
Mm-hmm. And then you have these two land use policies that are really specific to Lake 12. So approval of annexation. So along that theme of like, well, hey, we don't really want to talk about annexing Lake 12. That's what these two were written. Approval of the annexation includes permanent public access to the lake. Prior to annexing Lake 12, a traffic study shall be completed to determine. So these would be very important to leave in if we leave the, if we don't go the path of saying we do not intend or desire to annex Lake 12.
Well, Lake 12 already has permanent public access.
Does it? And like I said, you know, and having this, this is like the 26 is talking about, well, before you annex it, you have to do these things. So you would not want to take 26 out if there's still a potential to annex Lake 12 in our goals here, our policies.
So to save paper, we could just take Lake 12 out of the annexation area and we remove all of these policies.
Yeah, so then I had this proposed here as a policy 28 that we would work with King County to evaluate the removal, and that's a little softer. And so maybe that's more palatable.
I agree. I think it's more palatable.
Mm-hmm.
Any other commissioners have any opinion on that?
It's certainly softer, but I've said I don't object to the hard approach, but I'm okay with the city working with the county to look into removing Lake 12 further.
Okay.
Commissioner Olson, I do like the phrasing better, as it really says what we're going to do, which is evaluate it, not that we're just going to do it.
Okay. So why don't we, this was a great discussion on this, and it really helps me when, you know, to maybe clean some stuff up now that we've talked about it. And when we put together our public hearing document, remember that's, as you know, we've talked about, we're not putting anything out there for action at this time. We're wordsmithing, we're talking about what makes sense to put out there to the public. To hold a hearing on. So I can maybe, based on this discussion, can play with these words a little bit. I've got the intent. I think I've got an understanding of what your intent is here. And so then when we move through into the, and this is bringing back discussion that we've had about the commercial goals and policies. And, you know, we have town center commercial, community commercial, and the and neighborhood commercial. So I'm proposing that, so the neighborhood commercial and the town center commercial, the intent in this comp plan is that they would be mixed use areas. Community commercial, we never really defined that as a one way or the other, but based on testimony that we had when we were going through the adoption and some of the rezone, you know, some of the public input, and even some of our own discussions here, that the community commercial designation I'm proposing, we say, is not intended to be a mixed use area, and residential development should not be allowed. You remember the community commercial here is the areas along 169. So what we, that is the area where we anticipated having larger scale, retail, restaurants, maybe motels, professional, all of that stuff, entertainment. But it really is more defined as serving the needs of the surrounding area. It's not the little compact town center neighborhood commercial areas. This is supposed to be a different. And so I throw that one out there because I know that Commissioner Amber had said, like, well, we really shouldn't have residential in along 169. And so I think that there's a good point to be made, and you do have to have some of your commercial area that you protect just for commercial, because as we know, residential is quicker and faster to develop than a commercial corridor. And once you develop it into a commercial, residential, then it's pretty hard to go back and make that commercial. So what are your thoughts about that, commissioners?
Commissioner Amber, I'd like to replace the word should with shall.
What do the other commissioners think about that?
Where at?
Yeah, which specifically?
Well, where she's got it yellowed, that she's sentence yellowed. There.
This is a proposed new sentence right here.
I guess I'm confused where there would be any confusion in the first place.
Because
in the word should and shall?
No, with regards to residential development, with the two paragraphs above, what area gives the impression that it could be used for residential?
Well, right now the city zoning, I believe, for community commercial includes apartments.
It's allowed, residential are allowed. So, and that's something, remember, we're doing the comp plan goals and policies, and then we have to make sure that we make the zoning code consistent. But right now the zoning code does allow for for apartments in community commercial as a conditional use permit. So this sentence, I agree. I thought that it was written, these two paragraphs really were written, but they don't come right out and say it. And sometimes you need to come right out and say things.
Okay, then I agree with this sentence.
I agree as well.
Commissioner Amber, you agree that the word should needs to be replaced by shall?
Yes. Commissioner Olson.
Yeah, Chairman McCain, I agree.
Commissioner Eckberg, yeah, I agree with as well.
Okay.
Jensen, I would also agree.
Agreed.
Clearer.
Excellent. And then then we go down, and this is more strengthening the language. So we have our goals and policies for these commercial designations. And in land use goal 10, I wanted to clarify that we're encouraging the concept of mixed use development in the town center and neighborhood commercial designations. We didn't have those words in there before, and this is just focusing it. That's where we want our mixed use development to take place.
Well, now what do you mean, Commissioner Amber? What do you mean by mixed use again?
Mixed use is where you would see residential and commercial, small scale commercial, being allowed on, on one site. So mixed use, it's kind of like it sounds, where you're mixing the, instead of separating your commercial from your residential, you're allowing them to mix either on one site plan or within the zoning designation itself.
Commissioner Amber, my feeling is that residential units should have their own zoning. So you'd have a separate zoning for apartments and townhomes and condominiums instead of commercial.
We would have to go through and change the whole comp plan. And plus, really, what in smart growth and all of what we're working towards, not just, the work that we've done this far, but also under the Growth Management Act and everything, is to have good mobility, close access. You're discouraging people. When you separate, they call that Euclidean zoning. When you separate and you have, okay, people, residential over here, commercial over here, what you do is you make it very difficult for people to walk to services. They have to get in a car and drive. And so mixed use development, that concept is something that is, I feel very strongly about, and it's upheld, it's something that we worked on, and so I hear you. I mean, there are people, and we've heard testimony, and that there are people that still think like, nope, you should separate all that. But our comp plan is really focused on not doing that. So we'd have to tear the whole thing apart if you wanted to go that direction.
And Chairman McCain, I think we've seen that the city of Maple Valley has really done that well. If anybody knows where Crockett's restaurant is, it's adjacent to those new neighborhood apartments. And there's a nice place where somebody could walk to Grocery Outlet or the hardware store or having a bite to eat. And I think that does help the whole underlying issues that we have in Black Diamond with traffic. It really is smart planning to do that. And I can tell you those, the public loves it. The public loves to be able to ditch their car at the end of the day and walk and access services.
Well, and the other thing to think about too is, remember, we're trying to keep Black Diamond true to its old town, historic small town. And those uses were never separated. You had your post office and your mercantile next to, people's homes. So that would be counterintuitive, really, to our vision statement, Commissioner Amber.
Well, yeah. Commissioner Amber, the problem I'm having with it is that in the Oak Point development, they were supposed, I mean, the original plan was they were going to have shops on one floor and residential units above that, and that's what they did their big sales pitch on. Oh, it's going to be beautiful, it's going to blend all in together, it won't be this gigantic apartment complex. And of course that's exactly what it is. And trying to keep the city of Black Diamond in a small rural looking village, you're not going to have that with these giant apartment complexes. And if you can restrict residential units to, one floor over the commercial units, like they do in downtown Renton, and the old Renton along, was that 3rd or 2nd Avenue?
That's a great example.
Mm-hmm. But you have to specifically say that, otherwise you're going to get somebody like Oak Point coming in here and twisting it around and putting up these gigantic apartment complexes and saying, well, that fits in with the definition.
So we do say that in the language here for both the town center and the neighborhood commercial. We do say that we're limiting the scale, the size, and the intensity. And not only that, but remember, these are the goals and policies that we then back up when we bring our development regulations in line with this. And we also have adopted design guidelines that we absolutely need to pull out and make sure that it's consistent. But we start here. we start here. This document doesn't do it that level of detail that you're discussing, but you have to set the stage here, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah, Commissioner Butt, I agree that it should be included as mixed use in those neighborhoods. And as far as I know, there's only one parcel, neighborhood commercial, in the whole city. And then the town center is the one street of Old Town. So, yeah. I mean, overall, we're only talking about very few places. And in Old Town, there's no large parcels that I know of. They're all just a couple along that street there. And if they do apartments above a business, I think it would fit in with the area.
Then, and then the final change tonight that I was proposing in this commercial designation is a new policy to discourage the loss of community commercial areas to residential development. And that's just, again, strengthening this idea that we do have this community commercial area that we do not want to allow for discourage rezones, basically. If someone wanted to come in, they would have a right to apply for a rezone. If they had a community commercial and they were like, oh shoot, I want to build a big apartment, they could apply for a rezone. But this policy will make it very difficult for them to be granted a rezone, because we don't want to lose our community. We don't have that much commercial area, actually.
Commissioner McCain, and that's really, community commercial zoning is really just on the gateway. It's really just on the highway.
Right, yes.
That makes good sense from a regional perspective also.
Mm-hmm.
Well, community commercial is that also that zone on the, where the Auburn Black Diamond Road becomes Roberts Drive, and the new apartments are being built. That's all community commercial, if I'm correct.
What new apartments?
That's all MPD property.
Yeah. Oh, the MPD stuff. Yeah, that's right. That's already been changed to MPD. Yeah. Well, that's what I had for you this evening. And it sounds to me like we did. It was a great discussion, and I feel like we've got enough here that we can put into a draft document to take it out to hearing with the other things we talked about. The last item on our docket that we'll be talking about at our next meeting is the transportation piece of it, where PSRC said we need to have some language in our transportation element to address a contingency plan for funding. The current plan now relies almost, entirely on the transportation improvements that are needed being funded by the master developer. And they would like to see us come up with some contingency should the master developer not stick around and build out and fund those improvements. Because as you know, we already have level of service below where it should be and lots of congestion. So that's what we're working on, and that's what we'll be working on at our next meeting.
All right, thank you.
Commissioner Amber, and that's scheduled for the first week of November?
That will be our regular scheduled meeting will take place on November Tuesday. It's November 10th. November 10th is that Tuesday after the first Tuesday after the first Thursday. Yeah.
And Barb, when are we planning on the public hearing?
The public hearing, depending on how well, like I said, we're on this time crunch. I'll probably have to be asking you to have a special meeting again for the hearing in November. I'll probably be asking you to hold a special meeting to hold the hearing at the end of November so that we can get that testimony, have time to deliberate in December, and get a package to council in the middle of December.
Yeah, so council would have to review that at their first council meeting.
Yeah, or maybe second. I know it's not going to be, they were hoping to not have to do this in December, but there's just, that's just the way it is. Yeah. So they'll have, well, Brenda's here, she knows. They've got a December, there would be December, probably December 17th is what we'll be looking at if the council and the mayor agree to that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we are pushing for the end of the year. Thank you. I think that was a good meeting, commissioners. Barb, we'll move to our next issue. Do you have a community development update, or have we done all we can do for one evening?
I think we've done all we can do for one evening. This was a great discussion, and I really thank you all.
Well, good. So, Commissioner, we're going to move to the next agenda item and call for public comment. If anyone has joined our meeting and would like to address the Planning Commission, you could certainly do so now. We'd invite the public always to participate. All you'd need to do for the Zoom meeting is to either raise your hand or interrupt, either one, and state your name and your city for the record. Hearing no public comment, I would ask for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Commissioner Olson, thank you. Is there a second? Okay. Oh, and that was Mr. Commissioner LaConte on the second?
Second it.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner LaConte. So it's been moved and seconded to adjourn our meeting this evening. All those in favor, register aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, commissioners, and we'll see you for our next regular meeting.